Hello, welcome to the Recreation and Parks Commission meeting. This is September 20th, 2012. I'd like to note that everyone is here except for Commissioner Anita Ayoub and Brian Dorfman. And now we're going to go into our moment of silence. Let's take a few minutes. Thank you. Now we're going to go on to some announcements. I think, Al, you said you had something?
I have a card that the tennis group...
Yeah,
a card that we recently had printed up, and these have been placed in all of the many facilities that are frequented by tourists. As an example... Chamber of Commerce, the Department of Parks Building, the Senior Center, the Library, and more of them will be in place down on the Embarcadero. But it provides a lot of good information that what is available for those that are interested in playing tennis. It talks about the new courts, Del Mar Courts, where they're located, and also who to call in the event you are interested in participating. So this is strategically placed in several locations. This is it, right?
Okay, thanks, Al.
Mm-hmm.
I'd like to announce that the Morro Bay Community Foundation will present the third annual Morro Bay Sings Concert Series on Saturday, November 3rd, 2012. This year, it's Morro Bay Sings Paul Simon. This will include local musicians that come together to sing Paul Simon's songs. And this benefit will directly benefit, the foundation that's dedicated to providing recreational scholarships for youth residing in Cayucas, Los Osos, and Morro Bay. It allows them to participate in programs provided by our Recreation and Parks Department. The doors open at 5:30 and the music starts at 7. And homemade soup, salad, and bread provided by Morro Bay's Galley Seafood Grill and Bar will be available for purchase at $5. The event goes, or at least that part, goes from 5:30 to 7. Beer and wine will be available for purchase throughout the evening. Drawing tickets can be bought for the night of the show for a chance to win gifts donated by local businesses. Tickets are $20. Pre-sale and $30 the night of the show. So come on down, check it out. If you want more information, you can go to the Facebook site, which is Morro Bay Sings, or by contacting Mitch Barnett at 234-2980. And that's always a great, great, great event. Anybody else have any announcements? Okay, seeing as there are no more announcements, I'd like to open the public comment period. Seeing as how there is nobody in public comment, I'd like to close it. And we will move on to the consent calendar. Was there any items that commissioners would like to pull?
I'd like to make a motion to accept A1. 2 and 3 to file and pull A4.
A second the motion.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Any opposed? Okay, Mr. Woods, are you ready for your presentation?
Well, certainly. Good evening, Chair Crowley and commissioners. It's always great to see all of you on a third Thursday. The A4 is the department status report, and we cover quite a few items within this report. So if there's something in particular you'd like me to discuss, I would be happy to do that. But I will briefly go through each page and highlight some of the major projects that we're working on. We are currently filling a maintenance worker leave position. We've closed that. We've had interviews, and we have a candidate that's going through the hiring process right now. And hopefully that will be successful, and we'll be able to get this person online by October, so within a week or so. We're very excited to fill that position and get our maintenance that much further to being fully staffed. Lila, on either side, and they're five rungs high, and that'll be a little bit more work, and we're going to be scheduling that work when we close the park down mid-November. We are continuing to do work with the Civic Landscape Improvement Program. We're working on public services site, which is 955 Shasta Street. And we're hoping to finish that up and then go do some touch-ups around various civic locations throughout the downtown, and then hope to moving over to the Vets Hall in the near future to do some turf replacement and some hardscape improvements and so forth out in front of this building. There is a little bit of news on the Aquatic Center. Staff has met with the district recently to discuss our agreement, our joint facility use agreement. And through that agreement, our shared facilities and definitely our hopes in getting an aquatics facility here in the near future, or somewhat at least moving the ball further down the path, if you will. And basically how we left this particular project in the past was that the county and the district and the city were all in agreement to move forward with the civic, with an aquatic center. And we had at least three nonprofit groups that were participating. And it was the pool, the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, the pool at Morro Bay, and the Los Osos Community Pool Foundation. So there's three of them nonprofits that were participating. Two of those nonprofits are jumping out of the game for various reasons. And so we're looking to regroup as a group, if you will, for falling back and saying who's still a player. The district is still interested in getting a pool here. We have looked at the Morro Elementary site as our primary site to develop. Staff will be meeting with the county in the near future, as well as the Morro Bay Community Pool Foundation, to set up what we have close to finishing, which is a letter of intent to move forward with an aquatic center. And that will establish at least intent with four entities to show any funding source that we are serious about moving forward with the project, and hopefully funding will be following that. On page two, we talked about North Point. Good evening. North Point Natural Area. Staff has been working with the local contractor to improve the staircase at North Point. We put up a before and after pictures, and we gave each of the commissioners a copy of these pictures. This is the upper section. There's three sections of that staircase. This is the upper section that ties into the natural area on top of the bluff. You can see in the top left-hand corner that the staircase, it goes down. It's rather worn. The hand railing starts towards the bottom as opposed to the top. We felt it was a safety issue and that several citizens were asking for a little easier access. And little older folks were looking for that stability as they come off the asphalt trail. So you'll see the staircase actually comes and is developed all the way to the top of the bluff. On the bottom left-hand corner, that's the aftershot. And then as you are at the bottom of that first section looking up, the top right-hand corner is the before shot, obviously, and then the bottom corner is the aftershot. So you've got railings on both sides, and you've got a staircase that's basically it's framed out, and it's packed with DG and compacted with a vibra plate. So it's a stable walkway now, and we're hoping to continue the work on the next section and then following with the third section when funds are available. The Cloisters Assessment District is moving quite along. Last we met with City Council, and they opted not to have a Citizens Advisory Committee, and directed staff to continue meeting with the neighborhood of the Cloisters as a neighborhood meeting on a quarterly basis, if not more, to talk about the maintenance of the district and deferred maintenance projects and budgets and all the logistics that go along with the district operations. Our next neighborhood meeting for the Cloisters is going to be November the 7th, and we generally meet at to do the master planning. Previously, we've used RRM group to do our master planning process and got us through Concept C. A little bit of history is that we met with the Harbor Advisory Board, the Recreation and Parks Commission. We held various joint meetings. We had site meetings. We also had community and public meetings. So that process will duplicate itself in a little bit higher level. And this time around, we are definitely looking to bring in a technical advisory committee. It's called a TAC, and it may even be a CAC, which is a Citizens Advisory Committee, where we would get group of citizens in the community that have various skills to come forward and meet, kind of like a subgroup, to formulate ideas and direction prior to the general public meetings. And so those concepts are still being looked at, and we're hoping that we can bring something to you for you to review and discuss and maybe give some more direction to staff as we're accumulating the funds to go into the process. At Morro Rock, at the parking lot, you will be happy to know that we have replaced all the old aggregate trash receptacles with new solar-powered trash compacting big bellies. So the big bellies are out there. We have exactly 5 of them, 1 at the restroom and 4 along the riprap on the bluff. We've taken out, I believe, 11 or more. So we've drastically reduced the number of receptacles out there. And each one of the big belly trash cans has a recycling unit next to it. So we've reduced the number of trash receptacles, and we've increased the number of recycling units. And so right now we're on a we're in a position that just happened today. So the trash companies come out tomorrow, and we're giving them the keys and showing them basically what we have planned as far as the service. And then the ones that we're taking out of there, the newer ones that the harbor put together, we're going to be relocating those to replace along the Embarcadero to replace the ones that are dilapidated and weathered and torn. So it's not just put them in the storage room. We're going to be replacing and improving the solid waste management throughout the city. And this is Janine Burlingame's project that we're helping her with, and we're hoping that this is going to be successful in keeping the trash under control as well as reducing our cost. On the sports page, which is page 3, you've got soccer, softball, and the junior lifeguard program. The junior lifeguard program was extremely successful, and some of these numbers you'll see on the participation report in A3. But we had some large numbers this time around. 85 boys and girls participated in the second session, and we had I don't have the numbers here for the first session, but I would imagine those are on your participation report. We had beach camps, and our beach camps were very successful. We had 3 this year, so that's moved forward. We had a total of 61 children participating in the program, so it's about an average of 20 per session, so we're very happy about that. We had 22 teams playing in our Labor Day tournament. 20 of the teams came from out of the area, so we're talking about out of the county, so each team bringing, you know, at least a dozen players, and hopefully some of those have families, and we are definitely excited about assisting our local hotelers with their TOT and their occupancy, as well as boosting any sales tax through meals and retails throughout the city. So we are, had a very good tournament season this year. Outside of our two tournaments, which was the Summertime Slam, which we had 32 teams, which is the biggest in the county for girls softball, second year running. And we also had about 12 other tournaments throughout the year. We've got a couple more still pending. First weekend in October will be another Triple Crown tournament. And they're bringing in quite a few teams, and they're blocking out big sections of hotels. So we're very excited to have them come back. They had a July tournament. They're having an October tournament, and they're very excited about coming in next year as well. On your last page, page 4, you have Kids Club, Kids Club Center, and Rockies. And Rockies is the teen center out on Tascadero Road, which was open all through the summer and now is going into the city website. Please click on the Recreation Parks Department and have a look at some of the exciting things that she's put together on that page. A lot of all of our programs and services are listed there. There is a quick link to our sports page, which gives you just all the information on sports, schedules and practices and standings and so forth. So take a little time and go to our website. It's definitely worth it. And it's also there that you can register for our programs. And we offer all of our programs with online registration, so we encourage you to do that. And the new module, the new section that's on the city's homepage is called Let Us Know. It's on the left-hand side of our city webpage. It's right underneath Notify Me. So if you sign up for Notify Me and you get our agenda, you get minutes, and you get notices and news flashes, you'll be happy to know there is a venue for you to forward suggestions or recommendations or work services and things like that. It's called Let Us Know. You have to register. It's because we want to respond to you, and we want to keep you in the loop as far as what's happening with your request. So you'll get emails that trickle back to you that says it's your work order, your request has been moved forward, or it's been completed, and thanks for using the service. So it's called Let Us Know. It's on the city's homepage on the left-hand side. And if there's any other questions regarding this or something that I've missed, I'd be happy to answer them.
I had a question regarding Morro Rock. You talked about having a solar-powered trash compactor with a recycling unit. What happens to the recyclables? Is that city property to sell for recycling for money, or is the trash collectors just remove it?
That's a good question, Commissioner Romero. Right now, on these particular units that are out at the Rock, those recycling units will be picked up by the Morro Bay Garbage Company as part of the garbage service. So they'll pick up the trash, and then the recycling truck comes by, very similar to what happens to the recycling container in front of your house. If you got a recycling wheelie, the recycling truck picks it up. The same truck will be picking up the recyclables at the Rock next to the Big Bellies. Those Big Bellies that are in the parks that are adopted, say Mariner Park, which is adopted by the Embarcadero Inn, those recyclings, we allow those adopted park groups to pick up the recycling and cash those in for their benefit. So there's a little bit of a benefit to adopting the park. You get the recyclables and you get your name on the side of the Big Belly. But out the Rock, those are put in the general collection.
Thank you.
Any other questions? Okay, can I get a motion to accept that? Accept A4 for file, please.
Motion to accept A4 for file.
I'll second that.
Okay, all those in favor?
Aye.
Aye.
All those opposed? Okay. And we have no public hearing tonight. Moving on to C, unfinished business. C1 is review the MUTMIT program. Mr. Woods.
MUTMIT.
Thank you, Chair Crowley. We put this item under unfinished business because 6 months ago we came to you with a report that outlined our usage of MUTMITs in the program. And right now our program is a partnership with various other groups, and our primary is the National Estuary Program, the NEP. And a little bit of history is that they helped us start this program through grants and through private donations. And we had a champion in the program, and Sandra Beebe and her husband, who we reported have moved out of the area, and that program now is championed by a volunteer, Diane Moore, and her husband, Brett. And they have just done a wonderful job, and when they took this over, they were very excited about doing a job that they would be proud of, that the community would be proud of, and the one that would be successful at all levels. And so when we discussed what that would entail, it started off with, let's do an inventory. Let's just see what we're doing. Let's get a grasp. Let's get a baseline of what dispensers are out there and what kind of bags we're putting out there. So we did this, and this program started back in 2000. So we're going, this is our 12th year into the program. We have a 12-month tally, and this one, as you see, from the previous month, and I've included the six-month numbers for you in your staff report, that they bump up significantly. And part of that is because this second half, the first half ended in March, now this one's going to include the summer months. And so I wanted to point that out. Diane Moore and her husband Fred were very kind in going out to each park and showing some pictures of each dispenser. So I have those 20 dispensers up on the PowerPoint for you. I wanted to show you the first one. This is Centennial Parkway, and there's one dispenser there. 4,600 bags being dispensed out of that one. This particular park is, if anybody knows this one, Morro Cove. And Morro Cove has two dispensers. One at, this is the north end, and we'll get to the south end here. I think we have to circle back around. But this one, these dispensers at Morro Cove, 20,000 bags over the year. So it's a lot of MUTMITs being dispensed. This dispenser is over at Lila Kaiser Park, and we have two dispensers at Lila Kaiser Park. And this one for the year is 11,800. This dispenser is located at the on the Island Street parking lot at Del Mar Park. And Del Mar Park has two dispensers, and you may ask me why there's only two. The dispensers at the dog park are being purchased and maintained by the Morro Bay Pups. That's through our agreement with them, and they've been very serious about upholding their obligations and responsibilities with that agreement, and the MUTMIT program is certainly one of them. They actually started off with doing these two as well. But last year, the city took these over. Here's one down at the Rock. And at the Rock parking lot, and I'm looking down at my notes, we've got two dispensers there, 20,500 bags being dispensed at the Rock parking lot. And this is the second dispenser. It's located by some of the do's and don'ts when you're using the beach. And here's one right at one of the bulb outs at the new Harbor Walk. I don't know if I can call it new. It's probably getting a little older, but it's new to a lot of people. And on the boardwalk, that's called the Harbor Walk, we have three dispensers along the Harbor Walk, and for the year, 43,200 bags being dispensed. Here's another one, which is right around right above Mother's Beach. Along the Harbor Walk, and this is the third, which is more towards Beach Street as you begin the Harbor Walk. This one you might think is a Harbor Walk, but actually it's at Tidelands Park. And it's at the gangway to the side tide docks. And Tidelands Park has two dispensers. We dispense 24,000 bags at Tidelands Park. And here's the second dispenser, which is on the very south end of the park. I won't comment on the seagull stuff because that doesn't fit in the bag. And this is the other end of Morro Cove. I'm sorry those weren't together, but this is the south end of Morro Cove at the very top of the staircase at the base of Olive Street, called the Olive Street Staircase. And again, Morro Cove coming in at 20,000 bags being dispensed. This particular dispenser is over at Bayshore Bluffs. And at Bayshore Bluffs, we have one dispenser, and this is it. And this dispenser saw 8,000 bags being dispensed throughout the year. 3,000 for the first 6 months, 8,000 for the second. This newly established location is up on the east, the top part of Monty Young Park. And Monty Young Park has one dispenser. This is it. We did not have it. It was just dispensed. We just put it up 6 months ago. So it's 2,800 bags being dispensed there. Small park, little neighborhood park. But we're hoping those numbers will jump up as people frequent that park. This dispenser is on the fence line there, and it's at City Park. And at City Park, we have one dispenser. That's it. 5,800 bags being dispensed. 2,400 on the first 6 months, and then we totaled out at 5,800 at the end. And this is another. This is the other dispenser that's at Lila Kaiser Park. It's next to. It's on the perimeter of the park on the north section. If you get oriented right, you know dispenser. One dispenser, 24,700 bags. So it's seen a lot of action. When the new fence went in up at what they call Dog Beach, which is north of North Point, we saw a tremendous increase of usage of North Point and this particular Mutt dispenser. Almost 25,000 bags. This is the second one at the cloisters. We located it on the restrooms. As you come in off the main parking spot, you'll be able to grab a bag and enjoy the park and keep it clean for those who follow you, and it's very important. But I would make a mention that all of our parks are, except for our Jody Giannini Family Dog Park, which is the off-leash area, all of our parks are leashed dogs. I've got several complaints just recently regarding the Cloisters Park, and this park is definitely a leash, dogs on a leash park. So, commissioners, if you could help us be advocates for dogs on a leash, staff always appreciates that, and also folks with kids at the playground are going to appreciate that as well. This is our second dispenser, our third dispenser, if you will. Actually, there's one on the at Del Mar. This is on the Ironwood side. So this is the two dispensers that we've counted out at Del Mar Park. And that concludes the Mutt tour. And I just thought that was kind of, I don't usually do that, but I thought it was kind of cool to have a look at those dispensers and really get a visual of where they're at. Because when we have volunteers that are out there servicing 20 dispensers year-round, and there's six, actually there's eight of them, and the two are our champions and the Moors that help coordinate buying the bags, retrieving the bags, and getting them out to the volunteers out there receiving donations for the program. It's a big deal. And when you add all this up, we're talking about over a quarter of a million bags dispensed in the city at these 20 dispensers throughout the year. So 251,500 bags being dispensed. 2,000 bags per box, and we went through a little over 125 boxes. And so it adds up to quite a bit of money to run this program. And it's very important, as you see in the letter from the NEP that I attached, and you had seen in our six-month evaluation, that this is part of a program to keep the estuary clean and keep our water supply clean. And it isn't just a matter of keeping, you know, dog waste out of the park so kids don't step in it. It is definitely a sanitary thing. It is a respectful thing as far as picking up after your dog, and it's also allowing that not to infiltrate into our water supply. So the whole ecosystem definitely is better off without this waste getting into it. So if you have a dog and you're out there walking them outside of your property, please grab a bag out of our dispensers and use them and dispose of them in the trash cans. And we've got trash cans throughout the parks as well. This concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions at this time.
Yeah, I'd like to thank all the volunteers. That is an enormous amount of work. It's very commendable. Are you looking for a recommendation, Mr. Woods?
We're going to continue with the program. I've got a meeting this coming Monday with Sherry from the NEP, as well as Diane Moore. And so we're going to just coordinate our efforts, making sure that we're on the same page as we move forward into this into the months to come. We're making sure that our supplies are adequate and our funding is lined up. And then we'll be hoping to take the message a little bit further. And I'll be asking some of my colleagues at our Slow Capper meeting what they're doing as far as the Mutt Dispenser program. And we're going to try to help out Los Osos. They're going to look to try to start a program very similar to ours because of the success that we've had, and the consistency, I think, is most important. So we are certainly trying to take what we have learned here and branch out to the Estero Bay, definitely, and to other communities if they're willing and need our help. So staff will be looking for you to accept this report for file at this time.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a motion to accept this file for motion?
I'll make a motion to accept this report.
Can I get a second?
Well, I'll second that.
All those in favor?
Aye. Aye.
All those opposed? None. I'd like to note for the record that Brian Dorfman is now here. Welcome. He actually came in about 5:45, approximately. Okay, moving on to item D, new
the TAC. The TAC developed a mission, and it composed of three parts. One, give back to Morro Bay, because Morro Bay gives them a safe, fun, way cool place to go after school at no cost. Two, to develop a community awareness and support through information, visibility, and representation. And three, raise funds to support special teen center events. The TAC has provided volunteer services consisting of food service, kitchen prep, cleanup and setup, concessions, poster, flyer distribution, parking posting, solid waste management, and overall event assistance. In 2009-10 fiscal year, the TAC, and this is a group of teenagers, a random group, they volunteered a total of 119.5 hours. In 2010-11 fiscal year, the TAC volunteered a total of 335.5 hours. And then this past fiscal year, 2011-12, the TAC volunteered a total of 472 hours. Staff works diligently with community groups to increase volunteer opportunities for teenagers within the city. Staff have found that not only do teenagers perform their volunteer responsibility at a high level, they also have developed a sense of pride and appreciation for their community. Additionally, the TAC has developed a positive reputation within many organizations and groups within the city. Thus, as you can tell, they've increased their volunteer opportunities over the past 3 years. In addition, staff, as well as the TAC members, are very excited about this new project that we started. The TAC is restriping public city parking lots. And we've completed our first one over at Rockies, and I must say it looks excellent. A lot better than I expected. I mean, it looks professional. And they're very excited to move on to their next parking lot, their park that they have adopted over at Lila Kaiser Park. And they plan to start that later this month. And this project in particular, as well as all of them, but this one really has some real dollars associated to it, because they are now providing a service that potentially the department would have contracted a company to do. Therefore, this concludes my report, and staff recommends a motion to accept this report for file.
Thank you, Heather.
Okay.
That's pretty impressive.
I recommend we accept this for file.
Can I get a second? All those in favor?
Aye.
All those opposed? None. Okay, moving right along, we have item D2 in new business, where we'll hear from Mr. Woods, share and review some park improvements for Anchor and City Parks.
Thank you, Chair Crowley and Commissioners. This particular item has been on the books for a while. And I'm sorry to say that, but right now we're in a position we want to move forward. We have had some unallocated funds available to us through the State Parks per capita grant program, and that was in the tune of about $70,000. We have earmarked that work, that money, to be over at Lila Kaiser Park. We had, as you would recall, in the years back in 2010, November, we put together an application. We submitted it to the state. It was to replace the bleachers, the scoreboards. We were going to do some field improvements. We were going to do some improvements to the outside fence and the foul lines and so forth. And that particular project was rejected by the state. We were unable to satisfy their land tenure agreement, our requirements, and that basically was because of our relationship with the power plant and that land. Though we do have a land easement to use the property in perpetuity, that agreement also has a clause that the power plant could come back and use that land. And there's certain conditions, and they're quite lengthy and quite detail that I won't get into this evening, but that particular clause the state did not like, so we tried a letter from the power plant. They were not in a position to do that, whereas before we had an agreement, a letter that said that we could use the park for 10 years, and that's what the state was looking for. A lot of things have changed in the last 2 years with the power plant, as you all are aware. It's gone through pending sales, it's sold, there's been some closure talks, it's been continuing. I am not in properties that we already own. We knew we could satisfy land tenure, and the other requirements are were certain things that we could get through. We knew we could. Given the timeline that we're up against, we felt that a property, not a property, but an equipment acquisition would be the quickest way to expend these funds and the quickest way to get these amenities out to various parks. We identified Anchor Park as well as City Park. And what we put together was a list of amenities that we would want to replace. And in your packet, I gave you part of what we'd be submitting to the state, which is a diagram of the park and what the locations are going to be. I think I might want to try to get this up on the screen here in a second. But up on the screen, we do have the sign in which we'd like to replace at both locations. We wouldn't call them Mariner Park, but this is the new sign at Mariner Park. It's made out of the very thick plastic. It is it's modeled after our wayfinding signs that you find and when you come into Morro Bay. They're also the design that we use for our park rule signs. And at Mariner Park, it's kind of like the interpretive panel material. That's a real thick composite that's not going to fade. It's guaranteed not to fade in 10 years. And we have our design, and it's to replace the old brown wooden signs that we have. And those are very artistic signs, but I think that we're looking for a fresher look. a little bit more crisp, something that's going to withstand some weather. It's going to be very attractive, and we're not going to have a continuous maintenance situation that we have now as far as repainting the wooden signs. So this is the sign design that we're looking to do. This will be obviously would be Anchor Park for the one down in the Barcadero, and then quite a larger one at City Park. As you come down the boulevard where it splits at Harbor, there's that City Park sign. And instead of having that brown sign there now, we'd be looking at a very attractive sign that has the rock and the sailboat and, you know, the city of Morro Bay on it. And I think that that's very appealing and attractive as people come into town. Bringing you back to the diagram and the things that we want to do at Anchor Memorial, right now there are two picnic areas. They are large wooden picnic tables that have seen better times. They are really worn out. And so what we're looking to do is replace those picnic tables with an oval concrete table. At Mariner Park, you'll know that we've replaced those tables there with a round concrete table with built-in seats. One is for a handicap and one is not, so we try to make accessibility in everything that we do, including our site furniture. And we would do the same with these picnic tables. So instead of having a traditional rectangular wooden picnic table, now a much larger oval table, and I give you a diagram, a sample of the one that we're looking at. It's in your packet there. It's a smaller picture, but you can see it's got the aggregate and a polished top. I'm going to try to get some of these.
I only have D2L on my file.
Okay. You brought that one.
We're going to pop a couple up on the overhead for folks at home. So, new picnic tables and new benches. And we thought the new benches would look very similar to the ones in your packet with a little wavy top. Really trying to give it some character.
It's concrete.
And really trying to brand the things that we're putting in the parks as City of Morro Bay furnishings.
Wow.
So this one does not show the inset for the memorial plaque, but the company assured us that they will be able to take the measurements that we have now on the plaques that are on the memorial benches and duplicate them into this bench. So we would not be losing any memorial plaques at any site, but we would be updating our benches so that they're a little safer and a little less maintenance attached to them. At this particular park, we'd be looking to put in a big belly trash compactor. Those are solar powered and with the recycling unit. And those are going to allow us less maintenance, a cleaner park, less bird and squirrel infiltration into the waste. So it really is a win-win-win on various fronts. We'll also be looking to put in a new drinking fountain into this location, which we feel is very important. And like I said earlier, the new sign. So those are the amenities of Anchor Park. This bench is also two other benches, and they look exactly like a dock cleat. So if you know what a cleat looks like on a dock, imagine that small cleat now 6 foot and used as a bench. So it's not an actual one. It's a replica of a cleat into a bench. And so the idea was that possibly we could take that design and go to Anchor Park with it, instead of putting in the benches that you saw that are in your packet, putting in these cleat benches. There's four along the front walk, and there's one on the back side that fronts the Embarcadero. So I would like to throw that out for a little discussion, because I wasn't too sure about that, but it seemed like a really, really cool idea with the anchor and having cleat benches. And the big chain that goes around the park, it just seemed like it fit. So if I'm on the right path, I would love to get some feedback from the commissioners on that. And then I'll come back. We can come back to that during discussion, but I'll bring it over to City Park now. At City Park, we are looking to replace the sign at the front of the park. We are looking to replace the benches as well as the picnic tables. And those would be the same styles that we discussed with Anchor Park. They wouldn't be the cleats. I don't think that would be a good fit for City Park, but I still think it would be a good fit for Anchor Memorial. And we're also looking to put in a new drinking fountain. Right now, we don't have a drinking fountain there. It was broken, and we have not replaced it, so we'd like to put a new one in. And we'd also like to work on the basketball court. We feel that the basketball standards are just worn and rusted and need to be replaced with some decent ones. We'd like to resurface the court and repaint it. So I think this needs a little bit of an overhaul to make that park really shine and be proud of something that's in the center of our town that a lot of folks use. It's a transit stop that we've transformed, as you know, into grandmother's living room, and that seems to be going really well. And so we just want to improve our site furnishings with this unallocated grant monies. We feel we can turn that $70,000 into something that's really going to make a difference. We certainly could look at other possibilities, but I think that we may be missing the boat on this money, and I really would like to get this money allocated to a project, which is going to take us some time. This application should go out. It could go out as early as tomorrow, if not early next week. And then as the state turns it around, and then we would be really under the gun to get things purchased and in here and paid for and then reimbursed. And so there's a process that involved in this. And right now we're at the end of September. And so we're up against, you know, a six-month deadline, which seems like a lot of time if you're in the private sector, but not so much when you're in the public sector, particularly dealing with grant funds at the state level. So that concludes my report. I'd be happy to answer any questions or have any dialogue at this time.
Well, I had a question about the cleat benches. Do they have a back to them, or are they just no? Okay.
No back to the cleat benches.
Okay. Right. Okay.
Sounds like a good idea.
I'd also like to suggest to staff that if there's any funding, if besides replacing existing benches and picnic tables, if there's any monies left, is to add some new ones. I know Anchor Park's kind of small, but a lot of people like to get their fish and chips or whatever from local restaurants and sit there and look at the view. If there is a spot to add a small one there, then, you know, that's like one suggestion. And City Park, I know we have art in the park, but there's so much walkway and sidewalk around there that maybe we could add another new bench or two. If there's any extra monies, instead of letting it go, maybe another picnic table there, because there's always somebody there, especially on weekends, having a little picnic lunch or whatever. So I'm sure anything extra that we could provide would be good. So just not to let any of it go.
We got some new benches at City Park, didn't we, a while back?
We did. We picked up some new benches. They aren't the ones that we're suggesting now. So we have some benches that are there. We've got an aluminum one that's in the backside of the bus shelter.
Okay. Oh, you know what? I was thinking about the tables. We got new tables.
And wooden tables there. What you saw was the old ones painted.
Ah, okay.
We tricked you. They aren't new.
Good job.
They were refurbed. But one of them was splintering out. We actually had to pull it out. So eliminating that that maintenance element, that, you know, the wood ones only last so long, and then you've got to paint them and repaint them, and you've got to deal with them. The concrete ones are going to be a lot more stable and a lot more secure and a lot more longevity as far as the product goes.
Benches over the next 5 years, quite a few. Mm-hmm. And if anyone's been in some of these towns that have really decided to go with benches that have more character, it's great, because all of a sudden all those benches then have character. You know, each one is an effort. So whether you get a regular bench or a bench with character, it's similar effort, I think. So to answer that question, I think that'd be great.
It's good to hear, because when I saw a picture of the cleat, actually you can see them. They're down at the two of them are being stored right now at Dockside 2. So if you get a chance, like even tomorrow, you can shoot down there tonight and have a look at them. And it's not too late. I can hold off on this application until Monday. But I was hoping to get this thing out soon. But I would agree with you. The unique bench, when it came up to me, I thought, why wouldn't we go with the unique bench? And I think the cleat bench at anchor, when you have those big, the big chain that goes around it, and there's the big anchor, it's just such a, it's the memorial, I mean, it's a fisherman's memorial, this Anchor Memorial Park, and it just means, it's fishing, and these cleats, benches are just so in tune with that. It just was, I'm very excited about that. You can tell my wife, I'm very excited about that. So we'll be changing. Right now we're about 65,000. So these cleat benches will take us really close to that. So what we'll do is we'll look at modifying our list of replacements and really try to fit those in. Is there any ideas with the benches that we're looking to do up at City Park?
Well, we don't really have a theme there, do we? We don't really have a theme for that park.
If any kind of theme, I would say would be a nautical theme going into our Morro Bay as a destination spot. Would be something that I would consider. Nothing off the top of my head. I've seen a lot of different unique. There's a lot of websites out there with a lot of unique benches and styles. Time is of the essence for us, number one, and money. But I certainly would. I love the idea of creativity and the uniqueness in different sites, and having that character in town. That's what art. The trash cans that are painted and mosaic and whatnot. That's the style and that uniqueness that brings a little bit of flavor to the town, which makes it stand out. And I think that's important as we go into this tourist destination and uniqueness of Morro Bay.
Maybe there's a maybe the Art Association would volunteer their time to put some mosaic tops on the benches.
Didn't you have some concrete benches that were finished out for in the grandma's house there by the bus stop?
Yeah, you mean like the concrete sofa?
I don't know what the cost of those are, but that same idea for benches.
Okay. It'd be nice to have those out on the grounds. Not a million of them, but here
we are. I was going to say something a little bit off, like who wouldn't put it on top of the bathroom, like a college fraternity sofa on top, or
yeah.
Grandmother's backyard would be out and behind it. Are you saying that something along those kind of themes, some kind of a different kind of a furniture, kind of a bench?
Well, if concrete benches are part of what we can do, and then going to what Karen was saying, they also can then easily be enhanced in the future. Mm-hmm. Have that artistic look in various ways.
Ooh. Do they come in different colors? I mean, even if you have these are really nice picnic tables that are concrete. If you have like a green one and a blue one and a yellow one.
They do come in different colors. And we weren't going to go, we were going to go standard.
Gray?
Standard gray.
Yeah, maybe we should think about just a color to be.
Okay. The same. You got those colors, yeah.
Yeah.
It's easy, and that would fit in City Park
with more personality.
Yeah.
Okay. I like that because it's. I get very I want the uniform, you know, all the everything the same color, the same pattern, and everything about maintenance and ease. But I appreciate this bringing in different colors. We certainly can do that. It's very easy to do, and that would certainly bring a little bit of uniqueness and kind of change the eye up a little bit.
Uh huh. Yeah, this bench that you have pictured of, it's a very functional bench. So if it just had, even if just the seating area and the top. Had a unique color. They can make it interesting. Mm-hmm. And there's no maintenance on that.
Yeah, I just, I end up down in San Diego where they, you know, they're a few years ahead of where we are with what they've been able to get allocated and work with. But they put this one bridge that goes over where the train tracks are, and then they did it with, you know, sort of that broken glass, and they did a progression of colors. And it was such a simple thing. It didn't cost them any more money. But somebody saw it, and they said, gosh, this is going to look great. And it's great. And anybody who goes over that bridge, you're going to remember the bridge. Mm-hmm. So it's those little things. They had to do the bridge anyways. To go back and do it like that would be impossible. So if we can be one little step ahead, like you said, something simple like bringing in some colors.
In the future months, there's these companies that do. Up there right now, there's just wooden like logs that are cut out, and they're very unique. They have those that are in concrete that look just like logs and that will hold up. They won't splinter. They'll be a little safer for people to use. and they'll have that uniqueness. So we would certainly be doing that at Morro Cove, and possibly we do the we do some rebenching at Bay Shores to make those benches unique. So I like the idea that you guys are excited about doing some different things at different parks. At City Park, it's a little tougher because it's in the middle of town, and environmentally, there's not a whole lot of things that stand out. Right there.
What about the real stone benches that were made like down by on the Embarcadero, like more? I mean, that's pretty classy to have some. I'm thinking right there by Stacks on the.
I know what you're talking about.
Those are kind of really classic, and they're not a fad. Those are in fashion forever. A lot of this stuff here is kind of has a certain trend to it, and you'll see it. You know, kind of they'll just start tweaking it a little bit, but it's pretty much kind of what's trendier or real common. And
we were hoping to get something that's going to go along with the picnic tables. And those are a little bit tough to get too far out and unique with. But if I'm hearing that if the style is somewhat acceptable and we can work on different colors and possibly different finishes, then we would have some uniqueness within, some consistency, and I think that may get us through this project. I'm looking at any other commissioners. That would be kind of what I'm getting out of this direction. I don't want to go too far out. The cleats were very unique and very available. And then this other at City Park, if I could change colors and possibly aggregates and the finishes within these particular styles, it may break up the eye a little bit and give it a little bit. Oh, we're at the pink bench, or we're at the blue bench, or we're at the red table.
Yeah.
And then maybe people can identify with that a little bit differently.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. Okay. See, and I feel that at City Park, people go there and spend a little more time, so they need a bench with a back, because it'll be a birthday party, it'll be like a little whatever. And down by the Embarcadero, they're there a little shorter time. They're there, like, to eat their fish and chips, take a few pictures, move on.
Right, and they have so, adjustments. You have the anchor, you have all that big mess.
Right, so I'd say the cleats just at Anchor
right
Park,
there.
And then maybe just color these regular benches and tables colored at the City Park. That's my opinion.
Yeah.
Anything's better than wood.
Well, yeah, we don't use wood.
It's all concrete.
And that's what we'll be putting together. We won't come back to you with this item. Staff will continue developing our application for the state and submit for those. And then hopefully the next time that you hear from us, we'll be successful and we'll be moving on with this particular project. But that concludes our discussion. I'd be happy to accept a motion with a direction for staff to pursue the cleat benches at Anchor Memorial and the colored benches and tables at City Park.
Okay, can I get a motion, including the addendum that we just made?
A motion would be to recommend to staff to move forward with the park improvements as discussed in the meeting tonight with the commissioners.
Which includes the colored...
Which includes tables. The different colored tables benches. And the different style benches at the Anchor Park.
Okay, thank you. Can I get a second?
Second.
Thank you, Al. All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. All those opposed? None. Okay, we're getting close to the end of the night, and we still have four items to go and new business. So moving on to D3, where we're going to discuss the program evaluation of the spring adult softball.
Thank you, Chair Crowley and commissioners. I'd be happy to present you with D3, 4, 5, and 6 collectively, and then look for the commission to motion to accept these reports as one motion for the file. So starting off with the 2012 spring softball, adult softball program. This particular program starts in late March. We had five divisions. We played four nights. We had a total of 27 teams. Our total cost, direct as well as support costs, were direct costs were $12,500 with the T-ball coach pitch program. Terrific program. We had 34 boys and girls ages 4 to 6 participate in this particular program. It ends with a great parent versus child game and then potluck barbecue, which is always a highlight of the season. The expenses for the direct cost for the program, $2,164. Indirect, which is the cost allocation, all the support that goes along with the program, total about $418. You have total expenses of $2,582. Your revenues through registration of the program were $2,218. You had a cost recovery of 86%. We targeted this merit service level at 70 to 79%, which basically we've exceeded our target, and we will continue to look at reducing our expenses. And right now we are targeting our cost allocation. And as you mentioned last meeting, we had not our special meeting but our previous regular meeting, we had our Patrick Cerrone was here talking about our fiscal sustainability program and redoing our cost recovery. And so once we have that fully completed and implemented, you'd be seeing some adjustments in our cost recovery, and I'm anticipating them swinging a little higher than they are now. We have some recommendations that staff will be continuing to implement regarding the program. And I'd open up this particular item for any direct questions regarding Coach T-ball Coach Pitch program. Seeing none, I'd be happy to move on to our next item, which is D5. D5 is our program evaluation for the 2012 Brian Waterbury Memorial Rock to Pier Run and Rocking Around the Pier Half Marathon, which is I love saying that because it's the first time we put it on. I was very excited to offer this to the public. Our staff did a terrific job in getting this together. We wanted to do it a year earlier, but we really wanted to open it up with a quality program. We offered the half marathon to 200 participants. We had 201, and I won't tell you who the one was. Okay, it was Karen Crowley. We let your chair participate because we felt that it was important that she get a half marathon in. We had 1,220 runners, walkers, aging from 7 to 80 participate in our 43rd annual running of this event. We had, like I said, 200. Staff report says 200, but I knew it was 201. And our half marathon ages ranged from 14 to 65, which was terrific. Overall, this program was very successful. I would say I want to mention a few people, Shoreline Calvary Chapel, and all their volunteers that did just a wonderful job. They have continued to do a wonderful job providing breakfast to all the runners and volunteers. It really adds a lot to our program. We had the Mud Skippers back to provide entertainment after the run, which was just terrific. We had Morro Bay Foursquare Church and all their volunteers come in on Friday and on Saturday morning to help with the packet pickup and the distribution to all the runners. The Kitsmans and the Culligan Water Program and then what they provide for all the runners in this event has just been so helpful. And they've always been there for us and supporting. So can't say enough about the Kitsmans and their business and providing us water for this event. They just do a terrific job. And if you don't know it, R.B. Kitsman is just a terrific triathlete, and I think he's going out of the country to compete. So everybody, if you see R.B. Kitsman around, wish him the best. And Mike Burton and his trucking and grading backhoe service, they provide us with this big trailer that we put up the band on, and we put, you know, it's in our award stage, and it's been, you know, every year he comes through for us, and so we're very happy about that. One of your local groups, elemental herbs. They use the kitchen at the community center to produce their product, which is a healing salve, and they also make sunscreen and various other products. They've donated sunscreen to stuff in our bags. Fitness Works has been a sponsor. Marku Lounge of Steadfast, it helped out with our, he's a personal trainer. He helped out with Caitlin Bitto in the pre-race, and they did music, and they did a little stretching out before the race. So we had a lot of groups come through. Cliff Cameron Miller, he is from Bakersfield, 1 hour and 11 minutes and 51 seconds, and our overall winner, Rebecca Cutler, from the half marathon women's division, age 38, from Fresno. And she came in at 1 hour and 34 minutes and 9 seconds. Those results can be found on our website, active.com. I went through their cost recovery, and we have a host of recommendations. As the commissioners can see, we broke this down into planning. We broke it down into event logistics, packet pickup, things that are happening at the Rock, and our staff and volunteers. So I won't belabor all those recommendations, but we take those very serious. We did a post-evaluation of the event, and we will do a pre-evaluation as far as what we need to implement for the next year. And I'd open up this particular item for questions at this time.
Okay. I see that you do have a lot of really good recommendations on here, and it was, I participated in the half marathon, and it was great. I am wondering, because as a participant, I heard some gripes. The reasoning behind keeping the Cloisters Loop as opposed to keeping the loop on this, on the sand on the beach. What's the reasoning behind keeping the Cloisters Loop, if you don't mind?
Our main reason is that to really get a half marathon out of our half marathon with ease. If we are trying to stretch 13.1 miles out on the beach, it really brings the start-finish closer to the Rock parking lot and the revetment there. And then past the pier, you're really subject to the tides and what's exposed as far as rocks and seaweed. So it becomes very tight to get our 13.1. It just isn't there. So in order to get that, we've got to loop somewhere. And to loop somewhere on city property makes the best sense for us as far as permitting. Keeping it off city streets allows us not to do any traffic control, which will allow police not to be involved in our particular route, and the additional volunteers it takes to do events on streets. So to eliminate the streets and to get the 13.1, we felt that, the little loop in the Cloisters was scenic, and it gave us the extra mile that we needed and really gave us a nice turnaround after the pier, and we felt that it would be successful to continue that, even though there is a little bit of sand to go up and down on.
Well, it just interrupted the rhythm, you know, because you're on hard-packed sand, and then you've got about 5 or 10 minutes walking all the way from the hard pack to the Cloisters path. So it interrupted things, and I'm just wondering, because the other option would be to keep it on the hard pack stand and just do a little overlap so that you're kind of going back and forth just for a little bit.
Okay.
And was that explored at all? Or
we certainly would. We can look at that as we set up next year's route.
Okay.
I think it maybe if we did keep the loop, maybe we put the loop at the beginning as opposed to the end is an option that we would want to explore. And then any other kind of a switchback, if you said, something like that,
maybe in
line as well. So we'll take the recommendation very seriously, and we'll try to get with some other runners and get them involved. And we know quite a few people who've done half marathons, and we'll try to implement a path or a route that's going to be safe for everybody. Any other comments, items for discussion regarding this particular item?
Okay, can I get a motion to accept this for?
I had one thought.
Okay, sorry.
I mean, it looks like it was a relatively successful event.
Yeah, it was.
Yes.
Paperwork. So it probably is worth really answering the question about
whether you want to put it through the sand or how you want to do the turnaround. For a good successful event, those small small junctures, how you're going to add that extra mile can make a big difference. For some people, having some part of it in sand makes it exciting. For other people, it breaks up that idea of running their rhythm and getting their time. So,
yeah, we've heard comments on both ends of it.
Yeah,
because you are coming towards the end. I mean, there's not much left when you get up to the Azure Street. It's probably a mile, and then you circle into that extra mile. Some folks were like, not a big deal, and other folks were saying, hey, that was really tough to get through the sand. And it would definitely slow you down, so because you don't want to twist your ankle. So there are some issues there that we heard from runners, like I said, both sides. So we'll definitely take in consideration as we move into next year's planning. Thank you.
Okay.
If there's nothing else, so there were some big hitters in town to the point where we might want to consider putting up a large net. That's one of our recommendations. So it's a lot of fun for folks to come out and hit home runs. This particular program had, I should mention, the Lions Club always come out on this weekend and they do the snack bar. Big hats off to the Lions Club and all their support. They've been rock solid in helping out the city. Their group meets here at the Vets Hall twice a month, and they do small projects here. They repaint. They've redone the picnic tables. They've done a lot of in-kind work in this facility to help us out. So if you see a Lions Club member out there, certainly thank them. Our expenses for this particular program totaled $5,479.97. Our support program costs were the cost allocation, just under $500. And your light surplus has always been assessed to all the teams that play out there, and that came in at $440. Total expenses, $6,432. Your revenues were at $6,450. Net revenues, $18. Cost recovery, $101. So 101% cost recovery. We met our goals. We were very excited about that. This is an ASA-sanctioned event. We have a list of program evaluation recommendations at the end, about totaling seven of them. And one of them I would mention, it's the last one, which is to work again with the Chamber of Commerce to set up package deals for teams that are coming in. And we had a very outlined program in 2010. We've gotten away from that. We are really urging, I'm urging staff to get with the chamber to get our package deal back out there. Basically, it says, here are all the tournaments for the year, because we're going to know that real soon. We've got more tournaments next 2013 than we've ever had. And get package deals with the chamber and line these teams up with hotelers and get them to block in some hotel rooms and fill up the hotel rooms. So any questions regarding D6? If there's not, I'd be looking for a motion to accept D3, 4, 5, and 6 for file. Thank you.
I'll make a motion to accept D3 through D6 to file.
Actually, it's D2, isn't it? Oh, it's D3. Okay, I'm sorry. Okay, can I get a second for D3 through D6?
I'll make a second.
All those in favor?
Aye.
Aye. Aye. All those opposed? None. Moving on to our last item, which is future agenda items. I'd like to add one. There's a group of very concerned citizens in North Morro Bay regarding the structure of their streets, and they would like to see us discuss possibly what the status is on getting those repaired, and I don't know if that runs into some budget concerns or at least outlining what the budget is for that. I think that would be very helpful.
Can I make a quick comment? And
it is.
I would say that currently, I'll give you just a quick one. I would be happy to bring a report back at our next regular meeting if the commission is agreeing. But right now we have approximately $160,000 allocated to potholes, sidewalks, for this through Measure Q for this coming for this year that we're in. We are going to be targeting North Morro Bay. We're going to try to get going next week, but for the latest, we would be in October and starting some major work in the north part of town. We're doing we've kind of set up a plan to do a third party for the large potholes, and there are some large potholes out in town, and then working in the very near vicinity to those operations with our city crew, our consolidated maintenance crew, and doing some of the small and medium cut out and dig outs. So when our major contractor is finished with the big holes, they can come through and finish up the ones that we've cut and dug out. So it's kind of like a tag team efforts that we're going to be going into here really in the near future. So there's going to be some action, and it isn't just talk, and it isn't just like, hey, we're going to be doing it. We're really pushing staff to get our contractors out there and to get the dates lined up. Know that your consolidated maintenance crew does have obligations throughout the city in parks and buildings, so we'll need to satisfy our core duties before we can pull out and do some street repair. So I'd be able to bring back a staff report outlining the work that we've done in street repair. You were around Quintana and Main. You might have seen some work being done there in the sidewalks in this section of town. I've got a contractor out there doing some dig outs and some repaving that'll be going on to repair some of your sidewalks. So it's a multifaceted type of approach that we're trying to expend the money that we've been allocated the best way we can with outsourcing and in-house labor in various areas with a systematic approach so we can build on some things so you can see the progress.
Okay, thank you. All right, can I get a motion to adjourn our meeting?
I'd like to make a motion to adjourn the meeting.
Second?
I'll second that.
All those in favor? Aye.
Aye.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you.